Well, good morning, everyone. If you do have your Bibles, please open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I had the entire chapter read because I wanted to get a bit of background to what we're going to go through today, but we're going to be mainly in 2 Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 2, the second half. So we're going to be starting in verse 10. Now, this is an interesting topic. You know, it's one that I think, as especially in Reformed churches, we don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about the depths of the Holy Spirit. Yet Paul is addressing the church, and he's raising a lot of wise things about what the Spirit is. He's talking about that true wisdom comes from the Spirit, and it comes from God, and it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. And I think at times, we as reformers are sometimes afraid of speaking of the Spirit. You know, the job of the Spirit, however, is one that we engage with all the time. Our conversion started with the Holy Spirit softening our hearts. He guides us through our prayers. He guides us through the Scriptures. He convicts us of our sins, and He puts prayers upon our hearts. And He changes our hearts. The Holy Spirit is one that we actually deal with quite a lot whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit. But yet, I think because of so many of churches that have abused what the Holy Spirit means, what the power of the Spirit means, that we've kind of tried to shut it down. Yet the Spirit is the same power that rose Christ from the dead dwells in us. Romans 8:11 reminds us of that, that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. That's something that we know the passage well, and it's something that we know it, but I don't think we always appreciate what that really means. Let's think about that for a minute, that the power and the Spirit of God that rose Christ from the dead dwells within us. That should be an empowering thing. That should be a humbling thing for us. That as we think about the Spirit, that we would be reminded again of the beauty of the Spirit. You know, often whenever we pray to the Father, we pray to Jesus, but often we kind of just sprinkle in the Spirit whenever we pray. Yet the Spirit is what is actually compelling us to pray. It's what's filling our hearts with burdens to pray for. You know, I like the fact that Neil brought the Spirit into prayer this morning. You know, Holy Spirit, speak through us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Holy Spirit, guide us. And that's what Paul is reminding the church in Corinthians this morning, that he's reminding them that wisdom doesn't come from man. Wisdom can't be discovered by man, but it's only through the Spirit that wisdom can be found. So the title of my sermon is Revealed by the Spirit, the Mind of Christ in the People of God. Is that the Spirit is reveals the truth of the Word of God to us. He reveals the true wisdom of God to us as sinful, rebellious people. You know, we're going to see later on is that why don't people just all turn to God whenever they hear things? It's because the Spirit hasn't revealed it to them. The Spirit hasn't broken their hearts for them to see. They're still unregenerate and blind by the truth. So the Spirit teaches us a lot of things. The Spirit reveals a lot of who we are and a lot of who God is. So if you do have your Bibles, please look at me. Please look with me at verse 10. But to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men know the depths of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the depth of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the depths graciously given to us by God. God's wisdom is not found, but is revealed. God's wisdom is revealed to us by the Spirit. You know, we have to ask this question, why have we been given the Spirit? So that we may know the depths graciously given to us by God. We may be able to pick up the scriptures and read them more than just what the words mean themselves, but we get to understand and dive deeper into what the scripture means. You know, this is one of the Francois mentioned at the AGM about the fact that was we've been going through all the various things on the equipping the saints, is that he said the reason why we've stopped certain things is because he wants to take the spoon away and give the fork and knife to people to be able to dive in. Now, this is where the Holy Spirit was, where we're reliant upon him, because as we cut into the word and as we truly open the word and as we truly seek into the word, that's whenever the Holy Spirit reveals to us the beauty and the depths of Scripture. You know, Scripture is an interesting thing, isn't it? The gospel is so easy that a child can understand it, but yet the depths and the beauty of what the gospel means and what it entails and how much it truly transforms our lives, we don't fully appreciate as adults. I don't think we fully understand what it means that our sins have been wiped away by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we can have a level of understanding of that, but the depths of that is so rich, isn't it? I'm thinking about the fact that we were rebellious against God, and yet he's made a way for us to come to him, a way for us to be redeemed and restored. That's by the power of the Spirit revealing those things to us, so that we may know the depths graciously God has given to us. Just as a man's spirit knows his thoughts, only the Spirit knows God fully. Only the Spirit knows God fully. So if we want to know God fully, then the Holy Spirit is who reveals him to us. And he dwells within us, that we get to enjoy that beauty of the Spirit dwelling within us. You know, the Spirit is what's opened our hearts and our minds to the truth, that salvation and knowledge of God begins and ends with him. Now, the question that we have to ask is, are we aware that our understanding of God is not by our ability, but it is through the Spirit? Are we truly aware of it? You know, as we dive into the Word, are we reading it kind of arrogantly at times, thinking, man, I'm getting pretty good at this thing. You know, I'm getting good at reading, I'm getting good at understanding, I'm getting good at applying and taking God out of the equation, that as we read the scriptures and as we try to apply the scriptures, it is through the Holy Spirit's guiding us through it. That the Holy Spirit's guiding us in all ways and in all things. So I've just gone through half of my first point. So if you wanted to know what the first point was, it's the source of divine revelation. The Spirit of God is the divine source of revelation, that we get to understand the scriptures through him, by him, for him. That, you know, as we, and here's what's so cool about it, is that as we dive in and as we understand and as we pray for wisdom as we're reading the scriptures, that our understanding and our love for God expands, through which our joy increases, which God's glory increases, that we get to be a part of this journey with him to be able to worship him and glorify him and magnify him, that it becomes more and more and more of a joy, that we get to have communion with God. Now, this is one of the things that has been challenging me, is that whenever I read my Bible in the morning, whenever I open up the Word, am I opening up the Word and am I praying beforehand that God would speak to me, that God would reveal his Word to me, that the beauty and the depths of this scripture that I'm going to read, is this something that's going to speak to me today? Or am I just reading it because I feel obligated, or it's my morning routine and it's what I have to do? You know, it's whether or not we're reading the Bible to know God deeper and to know his word better and to understand him greater, or if we're doing it as a tick box exercise, even if we have a good heart intention behind it. You know, that's the thing sometimes. I don't think always we're just like, all right, it's Bible time, let's open it up and read it, is that we just start going through the motions. And it's not something that we're intentionally doing, but yet we can so easily fall into the trap of that this is now the time that I read, or this is now the time that I pray, or this is now the time that I listen and wait. And that's been another challenge, is how much do I listen and wait? How much do I listen and wait to hear from God? How much do I listen and wait upon Him of what I should read and where I should go and what I should do in His Word? Or do I just quickly, right, okay, that sounds good, I'm going to start there. Or going to our comfortable books in the Bible that we know and love and that we can continuously go to again and again and again. Because I don't know about everyone else, but that's certainly the routine of my life so often whenever I read, is that I can trap myself in going to the same thing again and again, not because I'm necessarily searching for something deeper in that understanding of it, but that I'm familiar with it. You know, how many of us are familiar with Scripture to the point to where sometimes it just doesn't really affect us? You know, it's for me, sometimes it's the Christmas story again and again and again. Every year we listen to the Christmas story, we hear it. You know, we know it, and it can sometimes just wash over us through the season of Christmas. But yet the beauty and the depth of what Christmas truly means, that is a preparation for Christ to come to this earth in order to die for our sins, in order to be risen again, in order to help to push the church forward as believers, that it's no longer just for the Jews, but it's for the Gentiles as well. That the story of Christmas is much bigger than what we give it credit for sometimes. But yet it's become the norm, and it's become the mundane sometimes in our lives. So my second point is this, verse 13. Of which depths we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual depths with spiritual words. And Paul is contrasting the difference between the worldly wisdom and the worldly rhetoric that we have versus the inspired teaching of God, the Spirit-inspired teaching that we have. Is that the world says that wisdom comes from this. Wisdom comes from doing this, and that these are wise choices and these are wise things to do. And yet the Spirit is saying something different. That the depths of the understanding of Scripture is so much more. That's why the world and the unregenerate wouldn't say that the Bible is true, that it's not truly the Word of God, that it might be good stories, that it might be slightly embellished stories, but it's certainly not inspired. That's where the difference between us and them is that we can look at it and the Spirit guides us to see the truth that's in the Word. You know, it's the fact that divine truths are given to us and revealed to us by the Spirit, so that we are transformed by it. And Paul's reminding the church of that, the power of the Spirit and the duty of the Spirit. The duty of the Spirit is to reveal the truth of the Word. It's to point to Jesus. It's to point us to salvation again. To affirm the things that God has said in His Word. The promises that God has made to mankind throughout. We get to see it again and again in Scripture, don't we? We get to see the promise made on both parties. The promise broken on man's side of the deal. And God's faithfulness to restore it, and the prayer of reminding God of that promise. Now, God didn't forget these promises. God doesn't forget anything. Yet, the prayer reminds us of where we are in God, and where we need to be, and where we need to go. You know, we see this again and again in Scripture. We see this with Abraham, we see this with Isaac, we see this with Jacob, we see this with Moses, we see this with Joshua as they start to enter into the promised land. We see all these things unfolding, and we see and remember the promises that God has made. But the depths, and verse 13, combining spiritual depths with spiritual words, is that the truth of the Scripture is not set apart from the Spirit. The Spirit speaks through Scripture. The Spirit speaks to us today through Scripture. You know, I think this is where a lot of the times the charismatic churches get it wrong. Is that they would say things as, God told me. But can I just say that if it's not written in this Word, And if it's not able to be challenged by this word, and if it's not able to be cross-referenced by this word, then he didn't. Because the revelation of God is written to us in this book. The beauty of this book is that God has revealed all that we need to know about him in here. So as we search and hear this, God told me this, God told me that. Well, if we look and see that it's contrary to what scripture is, then he didn't tell you. And if we look at this and see that it's different from what the gospel is saying, then let them be accursed, scripture says. That's the severity and the seriousness of the word of God. And that's what the Spirit is doing again and again, is revealing the truth of this beautiful book to us. The depths of what this means. That it is revealed by him. That the Spirit, as I've said, never speaks apart from Scripture. It speaks through it. Everything is through the lens of Scripture. So one of the challenges we need to look at is that we need to be wary sometimes of spiritual teachings. And especially spiritual teachings that aren't grounded in the Word. The Spirit's true work will always be revealed in Scripture and align with Scripture. It will never deviate from it. And if it is, then we should remove it and take it out. And the thing is that so much of this, God told me, is corrupted and crept into the church by and large, to the point to where people think that that's the norm whenever it comes to church, is that this is how it should be. Yet we neglect this so much. You know, the understanding of this is so little, but yet God's telling people all sorts of things. It doesn't make sense and it doesn't align with the true word of God. And the danger is with that, is that how can you combat that back to people? You know, if we're spiritually immature and someone says, oh, God told me that you should be doing this. Well, if you're spiritually immature and you think that person is spiritually mature because God is talking them and telling them to do stuff, what are you going to do? You're going to do what that person said, aren't you? You're going to follow that person's path. You're going to follow that person's way. You know, God told me that you should take this job. He didn't tell me that. Well, he's telling me to tell you. Oh, right, okay. Well, now I'll go and apply. The danger is that that's a simple explanation, but the thing is that is exaggerated so much that it takes advantage of people, that it goes to the poorest nations in the world and says, well, if you want this, God's telling me that if you give this amount of money, then you're going to receive this. And none of it aligns with Scripture. None of it is grounded in the Word. It's all grounded upon man's desire to be big and man's desire to look good and man's desire to be a healer and man's desire to be God. Because that's what those men are desiring to be, is not to be like God, but to be God to people. To stand up and say, look how holy I am. Look what the Spirit is doing through me. If you want these types of things, just give some money. And then I'm going to leave your poor country and I'm going to go back to my mansion back in the States and I'm going to enjoy my life. It's ridiculous. It winds me up. Because the thing is that the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of the word is so much better than these little temporary things that we try to fix. The gospel is better than how we're going to feel tomorrow morning. Or the gospel is better and more beautiful and more deep than how we feel today. Or what our physical demands may be. Is that it supersedes all of those things. Because one day we get to spend eternity with God. Walking side by side with him in eternity. That we get to enjoy him in his fullness. That we get to see the beauty of God fully. Without the lens of sin, without the lens of corruption, without the lens of our human eyes, but get to see him full in his glory and through our spiritual eyes, to enjoy him fully, that everything else of this world is just fades away. So be wary of spiritual teaching that's not grounded in the word. Hear everything that you hear, filter it through the word of God. Not even just the things that Francois says or I say or Neil says. Filter all of it through the word. Filter all of it through the word. You know, that may mean we have to turn off the radio or turn off podcasts or turn off YouTube channels or unsubscribe to nonsense that is claiming to be of God. But the depths are not taught in words, not in words taught by human wisdom. And that's what we hear so often with these churches. It's trying to play off godly wisdom, but it's human wisdom. But in those that are taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual depths with spiritual words. Verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the depths of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually examined. The natural man, the unregenerate man, doesn't accept or understand the things of the Word. They don't understand or accept the things that Christians do. Why don't you go and do these things? Why don't you act this way? Why don't you talk this way? It's because we see the truth behind all of it. We understand what God, where God is coming from. You know, why aren't we allowed to do, as the question said this morning, why shouldn't we do these things? And Neil gave the answer, is because Sunday, our Sabbath, should be a day that is kept holy. Why don't we as Christians go around and act like the rest of the world does? Because we're called to be holy. That we're called to be different from the world. That this is not our home. So why are we trying to blend in as if it is? And that people don't understand that, and people reject the truth. But James gives us a great challenge to this. As we've been going through James, I only said it a few weeks ago, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world sets himself as an enemy of God. Is that we're not meant for this world. Our job in this world is to tell people about Jesus Christ, and then when we die, we get to go and spend time with him for forever. But the natural man looks at things of God and says that they are foolish. Why live this way whenever you can do this? Why go to Sunday? Why wake up and go to church on Sunday morning when you can have an extra day of the weekend to enjoy for yourself? It's foolish to them. But whenever it comes to the true issue, is that if we are to examine our lives at the end, if we are right and the gospel is true and that our salvation is through Christ alone and following his commandments in being with him and being with brothers and sisters in Christ and following him, and if we are to die, we get to spend eternity with him. And if we're right and they're wrong, where does their eternity lie? It lies in death, in hell, and in separation from God. And if they're right and we're wrong, what have we lost? Nothing. Because we've still lived good lives. We've still lived moral lives. We've still lived upright lives. But that's the difference. That's the difference between seeing it as foolishness or seeing and understanding it for the beauty of what it is. It's not a matter of intelligence. You know, I've said that to so many people. It's not a matter about the intelligence of you in order to understand. It's about the spiritual incapacity that you have. You can be very smart and be very dumb whenever it comes to understanding the word. We see that often, don't we? Scientists that say the Bible's not true, that this isn't right, that this is wrong. Smart men and women according to the world, yet we can see it and just go, you're missing everything. Then verse 15, but he who is spiritual examines all things. Yet he is examined by no one. Once we are regenerated, we get to The truth gets to be revealed to us. The truth of God is revealed to us, and the richness and the blessings of his word are revealed to us. You know, I've heard so many testimonies of people saying, people used to share the gospel with me and I would get mad at them and I hated the things that they said. And then God changed my heart. And all of a sudden that gospel message that someone shared with me, all of a sudden made sense. All of a sudden it hit me. And what's the difference in that? Is because it's hardened heart that doesn't want to hear, that's foolish. And a soft heart that God has changed to understand and see the beauty of the gospel. That the wisdom is given to us by him. That the spiritual examines all things, yet he himself is examined by no one. That we get to see these things for the beauty that they are. That we get to enjoy the richness of Scripture. But the question is that something that we truly do? You know, if you, as a kid, whenever it was the day before your birthday, how excited were you thinking about your birthday party, thinking about the cake, thinking about the balloons, and obviously thinking about the presents, and the anticipation was fully there, and you were excited, and you were sitting on the edge of your seat. Parents, if you have young children today, you know how annoying it is trying to get them to bed. Just think about your party tomorrow. Go to sleep. You'll be fine. And the excitement and the anticipation is there. But why don't we have that whenever it comes to things of God? The excitement and the anticipation so often isn't there. It's the, even on Sundays, sometimes we can be excited. You know, on days like today, it's easy to wake up and go, you know what, God, you're good. Thank you for this beautiful day. I get to drive to church in the sunshine. It's been like, we haven't seen like rain clouds in like 2 weeks. Tell me God doesn't exist. When we have this excitement and this joy, you know, we can see it around the town, can't you? More people are out, more people are excited. I would guarantee that if we were to actually look at statistics, doctor's appointments would probably be more readily available because people are happier and all of a sudden they're not thinking about their ailments in the same way. It's easy to worship God and be excited to go to church on days like today. But whenever it's raining outside, whenever it's -2, and we have to get our coats on and get the kids in the car and do all these other things, is the excitement truly there to come into worship with our brothers and sisters, or does it dwindle a little bit? But the excitement should always be there. The excitement, the anticipation of that, I get to meet with God today, should be there. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at everybody and saying you should be more excited. I am saying that, but I'm saying that I'm doing this and you don't, is that it's very much for me as well, is that there's days whenever as I've said, I open up the word and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to knock this one out. Let's see if I can't get through half a book. But the desire there is to get through half a book, not to see the depths and the beauty that's within that half a book. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will direct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Those who belong to Christ have been renewed by the Spirit. We can say amen to that. We can all say amen to that. It's okay. Let me read that again and let's get a little bit more excited. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will direct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Those who belong to Christ have been renewed by the Spirit. That was a little bit better. That we have been renewed by the Spirit. That now we have been regenerated by him. That we are alive through him. Now that we get to think, judge, act, and live in the mind that's been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves to Christ. That we get to enjoy this world fully. That we get to see the creation that God blessed us with. That we get to enjoy the family that God has blessed us with. That we get to truly see what that gift means. That we get to enjoy these things in Him. Because we have been renewed by the Spirit. It's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. Where we get to celebrate with people who come to know the Lord. That we get to be excited about going and sharing about the Lord. That it should be on the tips of our tongues at all times that to share about the Lord. Because we have been renewed by the Spirit. You know, and this is the beauty, is that this is the fruit of regeneration. That the Spirit gives new life. The Spirit gives new life. And not only does He give new life, but spiritual discernment. Those are two incredible gifts that God has given us. That we get to go through life and examine things through the Scriptures. That God speaks to us through the Scriptures. That as we pray, that the Holy Spirit is guiding our prayers and guiding our thoughts. You know, if you don't come to the prayer meeting, that's a big part that you're missing with all of it. It's 'cause, can I tell you, the amount of times whenever I've gotten home on a Tuesday evening, sat down and just thought, last thing I want to do is get up. I'm tired. I don't want to do anything else. And there's some days whenever I say to Becky, I don't really feel like going tonight. And then she reminds me every time. But how good do you feel afterwards? It's because you know what's the beauty of prayer meeting? Is that we get to do communion with God together. We get to do communion with God together. You know, prayer is the thing where we do communion with the Trinity. Do we often think of that? Is that the Spirit is there putting the prayers upon our hearts. That the Son is there bringing our prayers to the Father. And that the Father is answering them according to His will. That we get to enjoy the full triune God in a time of prayer. And you get to do it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now those of you who might say, well, I'm afraid to pray out loud. God hears your prayers in your head. And it blesses others that are there by your presence. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to pray. Not just the things to pray for, but to pray. He gives us the tools that we need. Like all things, we need to learn how to use those tools. We need to learn how to use them. You know, it's one of the things I've spoken with Neil in the past. How do you know how to do this? When it comes to a DIY thing, I didn't. I got the tool and tried. And sometimes I failed. And then learned from that mistake and did it again. But the thing is with prayer is that those times whenever we fail, which heads up, it's always, the Spirit perfects. So as it's going to the Father, it's been perfected. Because all our shortcomings are met and then delivered. That's the God that we get to serve. That's the Spirit that dwells in us, that perfects those things. So if we sit there and think, you know what? It wasn't that good of a prayer. Didn't sound that good. Didn't sound that profound. God's not after our sounding profound prayers. God's after our genuine heart prayers. And the times whenever we don't know really much to say, but God, we just want you to be glorified. Or God, we just need you to intervene in this situation. I don't even have an idea of how you can, but I know that you do. That prayer is packaged and perfected. And then the beauty is that we know that God's going to deal with it. Again and again and again. The other thing about prayer meeting that's so awesome is that we get to see those prayers answered. And then we get to rejoice with each other that we've seen God answer prayers. We get to enjoy those things. It's a joyous occasion. So my prayer is that the Spirit would tug on some people's hearts. Some that the Spirit would kick out of the seat, kick the legs out from under him, to see us as men and women of God, as us that the Spirit dwells in, not sitting idle, but being men and women who are proactive in our faith and proactive in the church in order to see many come to know him. You know, Paul reminds us, but we have the mind of Christ. You know, having the mind of Christ means that we should be living according to that mind. Living according to that mind. Living in a way that is seeking God's will. Living in a way that is discerning truth from error. And living in a way that rejects worldly wisdom. Living in a way that is different from this world, knowing that this is not our home, this is not our place, but that we have been called to be holy, that our lives are living worship to him, holy and pleasing. You know, one of the things that I pray for again and again and again is the psalm, that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. That my heart would be aligned with you as I go out today. That my heart would be aligned with your heart. That it would be the same beat. That your burdens would be my burdens. That you would use me today for your name's sake. Whether it be a big conversation or just a little bit that I can put in. Is that the words of my mouth would be holy, that I wouldn't join in with the things that others say, and that the things of my heart would be pleasing to you. Now, that's a hard one. Because our heart is so easily corrupted. Someone cuts us off on the motorway, and all of a sudden, you know, as the meditations of our heart, good. All of a sudden, we're thinking, you know what? I'm following that guy to the next exit. I have to say, this has been a sermon that's really challenged me. I think I've read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about 50 times. Again and again and again. Reminding myself again and again and again. Of not only who dwells in me, but what the Spirit does. The Spirit reveals the depths of God to his people. Now that wisdom is communicated through the Word. And that only those that are born of the Spirit can truly understand it. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for today. We thank you for blessing us with your word that you have given us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have revealed to us the truths in that word. That you were the one that we met first in the Trinity, the third person that changed our heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Thank you that we can be transformed more and more into the image of the Son by the Spirit. Lord, I pray that as we leave here this morning, Lord, that we would be challenged once again of how we live, Lord, how we act. That as we search the scriptures, Lord, that we'd be desperate in anticipation to hear from you each time we open it. That we'd be men and women who are excited about reading your word. That we'd be men and women who are excited about praying and speaking to you, Lord. That we would be men and women who are excited about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. That we would, as your word says, not be those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. So we thank you, God. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.